I will rejoice in you. Thank you, ladies. 1 Samuel chapter number 27 in your Bibles this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 27. We're in the middle of the series on David, the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And we've looked in a number of weeks. We've looked at this Bible character. Today we find him at kind of a low time in his life. You ever been at a low time in your life? You ever been at a time where you find yourself discouraged or defeated, maybe even depressed? I'm told that depressive disorders affect approximately 18.8 million American adults. I'm told that everyone at some time in their life will be affected by depression, either their own or someone else's. The rate of increase of depression among children is an astounding 23%. 15% of the population of most developed countries suffers severe depression. 30% of women are depressed, which means what? Means one out of every three women are depressed. Now, I trust that's not the case this morning, but if it is, I trust the Word of God will help you. 41% of women are too embarrassed to seek help. 54% of people believe depression is a personal weakness. 15% of depressed people will commit suicide. Depression will be the second largest killer after heart disease, they're saying, by the year 2020, and studies show depression is a contributor factor to fatal coronary disease. Depression results in more absenteeism than almost any other physical disorder and costs employers more than $51 billion per year in absenteeism and lost productivity, and this does not take into account any medical or pharmaceutical bills. People struggle with discouragement. They struggle sometimes with defeat, sometimes even as far as depression. I don't believe David necessarily is all out depressed. We do know that David is at a low time in his life. He's at a time in his life really characterized in this particular passage, I'd say, by unbelief, and I'd say even there's some discouragement in David's life. I want you to read with me, follow as I read, verse 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 27, where the Bible says this, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." We know that the Israelites and the Philistines were at odds, one against another. We know from the Word of God that the Philistines were the enemy of God's people, the Israelites. And David, in this passage of Scripture, decides that the best thing for him is to escape into the land of the Philistines. And he says this, "And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath. We find David going back to a particular strategy that he embraced a few chapters ago, deciding to find help or to find security or to find an escape in the land of the Philistines, which is the enemy of God. I believe we find this because I believe that David is facing some discouragement in his life. As a matter of fact, if my memory serves me correctly, we do not see or know of any psalms that were written during this particular time in David's life. It is a time where David was away from the Lord. And I want to look, this is really a two or three part message, and we're probably only going to look at just one part this morning, but we'll see how the Lord leads. I want to look at the topic from this particular passage of Scripture of discouragement. Because I believe we can gain much truth looking at David's life in this particular time period that will help us as God's people in dealing with our own discouragement. What is depression? Depression is really the end result of discouragement. We get discouraged, something doesn't go our way, something doesn't go the way that we think it ought to, and we're a little bit disappointed. And when we focus on that disappointment, that loss in our life, often that leads to depression, it leads to despair, it leads to defeat. And do you know, we mentioned this a number of weeks ago, one of the biggest tools of the devil is to try to get God's people discouraged. If he can get you discouraged, if he can get you in despair, if he can get you defeated and get you thinking, hey, there's no hope for me in my particular situation, he's got you where he wants you to be. How much of an impact can we make for the Lord Jesus Christ if we're discouraged, if we're depressed, if we're defeated? I don't know about you, but when I find myself discouraged, I don't really want to do anything. As a matter of fact, even as a pastor, when I find myself discouraged, I don't want to give out a gospel tract. You see, discouragement, depression, whatever you might call it, is a big hindrance among God's people. And I believe if we can look at the life of David this morning, we'll find some help as, number one, we look at the causes of discouragement. If we have time, and I don't think we will, we may get to the consequences of discouragement and then the cure for discouragement. If we don't get to it this morning, we'll get to it in the next couple of weeks. I want us to see from these two verses then, 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse number 1 and 2, what are the causes of discouragement? What are the causes of David's discouragement, that which would cause David to want to find security in a people that was God's enemy, the children, the Philistines? God's enemy, the enemy of the children of Israelites. Number one, I want you to see this, and I think this is not only the cause of David's discouragement, but often it's the cause of our discouragement. Number one is this. He allowed wrong thinking. David allowed in his life wrong thinking. How do we know that? Look at verse 1 of chapter 27. He says this, and David says in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. David is focusing on the fact that Saul is after him and has been after him for quite some time. If you look at David's life at this particular time period, you can see in David's life that he did have some negatives. I mean, he had some very real negatives in his life. Saul was persistent in his attack day after day after day. There probably wasn't a day that went by that David didn't wake up and think, Saul is after me. Is he going to get me today? Saul, at times, though David, David was given the opportunity to kill Saul and didn't. Saul repented at times and said, David, I'm not going to get you now. I'm going to let you be. It was short-lived. Saul would make a promise, and then Saul would break his promise. David had some negatives. If you look at verse 1 of 1 Samuel 26, you'll see another negative in David's life. The Bible says, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalai? David faced the disloyalty of some of his tribesmen, the Ziphites, that would give away his hiding place to Saul, that would let Saul know where he's hiding, and there's only so many places David can hide. He faces this negative in his life. Think about the military odds. The military odds were against David. Saul had all the hosts, the big army. David had his 600 men. And Saul, you look at odd for odd, look at soldier for soldier, David was way outnumbered. I mean, this was a negative in his life. It was something that he had to face. Think about the possessions or the little possessions in David's life that he had. He didn't really have a home. He went from one place to another place. He didn't really have food, and God provided the food in his life. But he had some negatives that he could focus on. But you know, as we look at David at this time period, David also had some positives. David had a promise of God. What was that promise? That promise was that God told David, hey, you're the man that I've chosen to be king over after Saul. He had God's promise that David someday would be on the throne. It was a promise given by the Almighty God that was David's. Hey, that's a positive in his life, isn't it? Not only did David have that promise, but David, that promise was confirmed to David by other people. Jonathan came to David in the wood. You remember David was a little down, and Jonathan, David's friend, comes, and Jonathan encourages David in the Lord, and Jonathan says, hey, you're going to be the next king. It was confirmed at times in David's life. You look back at 1 Samuel chapter 25 when David meets Abigail, and Abigail is used of God to keep David from killing people he ought not kill, all of Nabal's family and relatives, and Abigail brings some food, and what does Abigail say? You're going to be the next king, and I know it. You see, he had negatives in his life, but he also had positives in his life. Think about the many times David was delivered from the enemy. Think about the time as a shepherd boy when the lion came to take his sheep and David was able to kill the lion and to kill the bear. And then David faced the great giant Goliath. Boy, that was a feat. And God used him to kill Goliath. And then the many times that Saul had a close call with David, and it looked like as you just read it, you think, oh no, Saul's going to get David. And automatically something happens, God intervenes, and David's delivered. And he saw all of these deliverances. He had 600 men that were loyal with him. They were loyal to him so much so that they would do anything for him. David had his needs met by God. David, just like you and I, in his life at this point, had a whole list of negatives. You look at it and you think, boy, I wouldn't want Saul's army chasing me. Boy, it looked like he's done for. Boy, you look at the odds are against David. I wouldn't want to have to be fleeing from all this every day in and day out. But David also had positives in his life. He had a whole list of positives where God promised him he was going to be the king. God had met his need and God had taken care of him. And David's focus in this particular scripture verse is on the negatives. Why? Because he says this. How do we know this? He says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. So I better take things into my own hands and I better hide in the land of the Philistines, which are the enemy of God, and I trust that Saul won't come into Philistine territory to find me. He's in unbelief in his life. Was he really going to perish by the hand of Saul? How many times had God delivered him? How many times had God met his need? Over and over and over again. Yet his focus is on Saul. His focus is on the negatives in his life when all he really needed to do was lift his eyes toward heaven and say, God, you made me a promise. You promised me back that I was going to be the king, and God, by your grace, you're going to do it, and I'm going to trust in you. You see, whenever somebody faces discouragement, whenever we face discouragement in life, we face it, number one, because we allow wrong thinking to take over in our mind. Do you have negatives in your life? You say, absolutely. Everyone has negatives in their life. You say, boy, if I could change some things, I would. Maybe you might change how much money income's coming in. Maybe you might change your housing situation. Maybe you might change your health situation. You say, boy, I've got a health issue, and if I could change it, I would. Hey, we all have negatives in life. David had negatives in life too. But do you know the Word of God says the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits? Just as we may have a list of negatives in our life, we also have a list of positives in our life because of the goodness of Almighty God. God has been good. If you're here this morning and you say, hey, I'm saved, I know 100% sure when I die, my sins are forgiven, I know 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. That is a positive, just one, though you have more than that, that should outweigh any negative in life. You see, because the negatives are negatives just for this life. They're negatives just for this world. But this world's not our home. And you see, we can focus on this world and we can focus on these negatives, but if this world's not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, the positive is someday it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. You see, someday I'll see Him face to face. Someday I won't have any more problems. I won't have any more troubles. I won't have any more cares because I'll be with Jesus. What a tremendous positive we have. Hey, we get depressed sometimes and discouraged because we're living too much in this world. We're living too much for here and now, and our treasures are there and then, and we must keep our eyes and our mind and our heart on there. That's one positive. The fact is, if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, not only do you have a home in heaven, but you have a personal relationship with God. Do you know prayer moves the hand that rules the world? And do you know you can go into your closet and you can get on your knees and you can get on your face before God and you can pray and intercede and you can ask God to work on your behalf and the God that one day said, let there be light, that one day said, hey, let the waters in the darkness, let them be there. The God they created and spoke this world into existence. You can get in your closet and on your knees and you can move that same God on your behalf. And you can walk with Him. The songwriter said, He walks with me. And He talks with me and tells me I'm His own and the joy we share. What an intimate, joy, close relationship that we have, not with some idol that doesn't talk or move, it's just a piece of metal. No, we can have a close, intimate relationship with the God of heaven. Boy, that's a positive in our life. And I'll tell you, we could go over and over. Think about the positive of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we go out as God's child and we want to do what's right and we sin and we do what's wrong. And boy, according to the Word of God, I can come into God's presence and say, God, I've sinned. God, I've displeased You. 1 John 1:9. And the Bible says, hey, God confesses all your sin. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. And I can be right with Him just by asking Him to forgive me of my sin. We could go on and on and on about the positives that we have. The positives with our health. The positives, you know, somebody always has it worse. Somebody always has it better. Somebody always has it worse, if you think about that. But you know, we have so many positives. What's the problem? Hey, David had the promises of God. David had the power of God. David had the very presence of God at times in his life to be able to kill a giant, to be able to use of God in such a great way. David's issue here is he's focusing on Saul. Oh man, Saul's got some army men. Man, Saul's after me. And because of his focus, he's discouraged and he says, hey, I'm going to Philistine land and I'm going to try to find security there. You see, discouragement is a matter of what we think on. Think on these things. What things? Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure. You see, if I think on the right things, if I think on the fact, you meditate for 10 minutes on the fact that you're going to heaven. I tell you, the fact that you're going to be with Jesus, the fact of all that we have in Him, we're justified. He sees us just as if we've not sinned. I mean, we're justified. And you meditate on the positives. And I'll tell you this, you'll get out of discouragement pretty quick. We get discouraged because we allow wrong thinking. And that's what David did. Number two, I want you to see the second cause of discouragement. And that is this. I believe David got weary in well-doing. He got weary in well-doing. There's nothing better, he says in verse number one. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. He got weary in well-doing. Butler says this, his trial had been long and wearying. It would drain the strength of any soul. The fulfillment of the promise had been delayed. He had been a long way under siege, and victory had seemed still a long way off, if not completely impossible. The longer the delay, the harder it was to hold out. He had tried to live faithfully over a long period of time, in spite of the many opposing circumstances, and rather than experience the rewards and recognition, he continued to face ridicule. He was weary in well-doing. He was fleeing from Saul. He was trying to honor God. He tried to honor God's anointed. He was given opportunity, and the one time, of course, he cut the garment of him. The other time, he took the spear. He was given opportunity, and during those opportunities, his men said, hey, kill Saul. Hey, God delivered him into your hand, kill him. And David said, no, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. He did right on at least those two occasions and other times, but there wasn't a day that went past that he wasn't faced with this trial. There wasn't a day that went past that David would wake up and think, where's Saul? How close is Saul to me now? How close is he to where we are going? Does he know where I'm headed? This trial was day in and day out. And he got weary. But God had given him a promise. But his eyes weren't on the promise. His eyes were on the fact that I got to take this into my own hands. I've got to do something about this. The Scripture tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. James 5 and verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I wonder how many of God's people at times get weary. Oh, God gives you a promise. You look at the Word of God and you say, boy, God will supply all my need. And you give it a promise, just like David was, and you still have a need. And you're on your knees and you say, God, would you meet this need? God, would you provide this need? Oh, Lord, would you work this out? And it doesn't come in the timing we think. It doesn't come in our way, in our time frame. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get weary in well-doing. And we convince ourselves, oh, I prayed for this promise. Oh, I prayed for God to meet this need. And God hasn't done it. And I'm just going to give up. And I'm just going to quit praying about it. We see and experience difficulty in life. Some of God's people sometimes get away from giving the gospel because they get weary in well-doing. You say, what do you mean? Oh, you get the real Word of God. You open it up and it says, hey, the fields are white unto harvest. There's people out there that need to be saved. And boy, by God's grace, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get them saved. And you go out and you get your Bible and you get your tracts. You go out on Saturday morning and you knock on the door and the first person slams the door in your face. You go out and you knock again and you knock again and you knock again. Hey, we're Catholic. And you knock again and you knock again. And what happens? Sometimes you ask people, hey, we get weary and say, hey, I've been out there and I've tried and it doesn't work. It doesn't work in this day and age. And we get weary in well-doing. You see, David was trying to do what was right. But finally he said, hey, this isn't working and I'm just going to give up. Hey, we get burdened about someone. We get burdened about someone that God's put in our path, maybe a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, cousin, whatever. And we get burdened about it. We say, you know what? They need the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to pray for them. And we begin praying, and we begin looking at the Word of God and looking at God's promises. And what happens? We go to their house, and they don't listen. We go to our house, they say, they don't talk to me about this anymore. Hey, we go, and we try to be a help, and we try to... And it just seems like it's just brass. And sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get weary in well-doing. We get our eyes off of the promise. We get our eyes off of the truth. We get our eyes off looking at the circumstances around us. And we get weary and we say, oh, forget it. I wonder how many of God's people quit in so many different areas because we allow ourselves to get weary in well-doing. The Word of God says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Oh, you say, I have an area in my life I need deliverance. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in your life you say, well, I have a struggle. Man, I worry. I just can't get victory over this. And you see in the Word of God, hey, I've got an area in my life that I need deliverance, an area in my life that I need victory. And what happens? You say, hey, I'm going to go after it. Boy, I want God to give me the victory in this area. And you go after it and you read your Bible and you pray. And you say, oh, I still have this problem. And rather than saying, hey, by God's grace, I'm going to stand on truth and I'm going to get the help I need and I'm going to try to get the victory in my life because it's provided through Lord Jesus Christ, what do? You say, well, this is my besetting sin. I'm going to have this the rest of my life. At least I'm not as bad as Frank Mawson, you know. I've got this in my life, but he has this. And, you know, we compare ourselves with people. We think, well, I'm just stuck. I'm just going to have this problem my whole life long. We quit. We get weary in well-doing. A mom's got to raise children. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way he'll go. And a mom wakes up in the morning and she says, by God's grace, I'm going to raise these kids for the Lord. And she gets up and she's up early and they come down and everything's fine when they're in bed. I mean, it's all beautiful. But they start tromping down all these different hours of the morning. And I tell you, by 9 or 10 o'clock, the promise of, oh, God's going to work. God's going to use me. I'm going to raise these kids for God. It kind of weary, gets a little weary. By 5 o'clock, sometimes the mom's at the end. Oh, I quit. Forget this. And the husband comes in, take your kids, you know. Take your kids. We're out of milk. I got to run to the store and get milk, you know. Or we're out of dessert, honey. I got to go get you some dessert. You know, we get weary. David's weary in his life here. He's been running from Saul for quite some time, but his focus is on Saul. His focus, folks, is on his problem when his focus ought to be on God. Don't get weary. If we will reap, if we faint not. Discouragement comes when we, number one, allow wrong thinking. When we focus on the negatives instead of the goodness of God. Number two, discouragement comes when we get weary, when we allow ourselves to get weary in well-doing. God's timing is perfect. God's promise is sure. But what God's trying to do is He's trying to work in our lives. He's trying to perfect us. He's trying to make us more like Himself. We get impatient. You ever get impatient at a McDonald's drive-thru? I mean, it's supposed to be fast food. I mean, what's up? You know, we got everything at our fingertips. And God's timetable isn't that way. God's timetable is making you and making me more like Himself. And God wants us to stand on His promises. He wants us to stand on truth, no matter what comes in our life. You know, I remember as a young man getting all zealous to go out and serve the Lord. And sometimes I'd run across somebody that wasn't all that zealous about me serving the Lord. Or wasn't all that receptive to the truth that I felt was a life-changing truth. You know, sometimes the devil will do that. He'll put people in your life that'll cause you a little bit of friction or a little bit of consternation, if you would. And sometimes God's people allow that to cause them to quit. Say, I can't handle this. I quit. David went to Philistine territory. He went to Philistine territory because he got weary in well-doing. Number three, I want you to see this, and we're finished. Discouragement comes when we get away from God. When we get away from God. Look at verse 1 again. The Bible says, "And David said in his heart." One commentator said this phrase can be translated, "said to his heart." This means David communed with himself about his problem. He did not commune with God. He left God out of his thinking here. Now flip back to chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23. And I want to remind us, we looked at this passage a number of weeks ago. 1 Samuel chapter 23, David, the Philistines, came up to fight at Keilah. And David says this in verse 2, "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said, 'Go.' And David's men in verse 3 were afraid." So what does David do? Verse 4, "David inquires of the Lord yet again. And the Lord says, 'Arise, I will deliver them.'" David needs some more advice. In verse number 10, David comes to God and he says, "Lord," he said, "Saul's coming to Keilah to destroy the city. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into thy hand?" And the Lord says, "Yes, they will." Verse 12, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Three occasions in this one chapter, and you see other occasions in David's life, when David had an issue, when David got to where he was at the end, David communed. He went with God. He said, "Lord, I need your help. What do you want me to do?" Do you see that in this passage of Scripture? Not at all. David says to himself, he communes with himself, and he says, "I got to figure this situation out. I got to change something." And David gets away from God. Now, I'll tell you one of the basic, most basic things that we learn when a person gets saved is what you learn in 2-year-old, 3-year-old class. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. It is absolutely vital that we spend time with God every day. It is absolutely vital that we spend time with Him. You say, why? Everything's all right where He is. Songwriter said, "Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy." Everything's all right on His end. And you see, it is so important that we spend time with Him. And sometimes, in the difficult times, when I'm a little down, when I'm a little discouraged, when I'm a little defeated, I don't feel like spending time with the Lord. I just feel like laying under the nice covers in the cozy bed. Get away from God and you will face discouragement in your life, and you'll make the wrong decisions. And that's the consequences David faces. We'll look at that in just a minute. Butler says this, if we do not pray in the hour of trouble, we will add greatly to our troubles. If we do not pray when a crisis comes into our life, we only invite more crisis into our life. Lack of prayer will deepen your discouragement, not diminish it. When trouble mounts, do not make the mistake of communing only with your troubled heart or with your fellow man. Boy, what a mistake we make. Trouble comes, we try to figure it all out. We try to think through it, talk through it. We hit it every which way we can in our mind. And if we can't find a solution, we find a close friend and give them everything that we already thought through. And then they do the same in their mind. He says this, when troubles mount, don't make the mistake of communion only with your troubled heart or with your fellow men. Speak earnestly to God about your problems, or the sky will get darker, not lighter. David got away from seeking God. He decided to go somewhere else for security and protection. By the way, the Philistines had nothing to offer David. He tried that back a few chapters ago with Achish, and he had to feign himself, the scripture says, mad, and have scribble come down and get the king to finally see, this guy's mad, get him out of here. God delivered him supernaturally in that passage. They didn't have anything to offer him, nothing. But David, at a downtime in his life, makes the wrong decision and says, hey, I'm going there. Can I say this? The world has nothing to offer you or I. This world is not our home. It just is emptiness, and the solution to the world are, hey, try this or that. The only answer is Jesus. Jesus is the one that meets every need in our life. You know, sometimes when people get discouraged, they head to the refrigerator. I need some encouragement. Oh, Twinkies. You know, they head to the closet. Here they stop at the Wawa. Man, I need some encouragement. So I'm going to get me a king-size Snickers and a Pepsi. And they eat the king-size Snickers and Pepsi, and they're sick to their stomach. So they need more encouragement. So they got to go get some chocolate milk. You know how it is. You know, and one thing feeds another. Hey, this world doesn't have anything to offer us. And then we find ourselves, when we try the world's method, all that does is lead to emptiness and vanity, as Solomon said. It doesn't do anything to meet a need in our life except cause more guilt and more sin. And it compounds the problem, and that in turn compounds the discouragement, which in turn compounds the depression. And do you know what the will of Satan is for people? The ultimate goal of Satan is to get people to commit suicide. That's his ultimate goal. If he can get somebody that's unsaved, somebody that's never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, if he can get that person to die without the Lord Jesus, that person is damned to hell forever and ever in eternity. He cannot get a believer, somebody that has trusted Christ as Savior. The devil can't get you to spend eternity in hell. You're God's child. So what does he want to do? He wants to do everything he can to keep you from being on fire for God. He wants to do everything he can to keep you out of church. Hey, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and keep your schedule busy, and keep you out of church, and keep you and get you to where you're not on fire for God. Because when you're on fire for God, and when God is everything to you, and you see Him as the answer for this world, hey, you'll start telling people about Jesus. You'll be a witness. You'll say, hey, you got to, Jesus is the answer. And you will make an impact against what the devil's trying to do. So what does he do to God's people? He allows circumstances try to get you to focus not on your home in heaven, not on the future, not on everything you have in Christ. He tries to get you to focus on the negatives here. And if he can get you focused and get you discouraged and get you depressed and get you defeated, you'll say, forget it. And you won't do anything for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ in a depressed, discouraged, defeated position. You even may, as God's child, I've talked to some of God's children, they even say, hey, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I wasn't even born. And some of God's people have even gone as far as killing themselves. Why? Because life is empty without Him. And David, at this point in time in his life, got away from Him He got away from God. Oh, it's so easy. The songwriter wrote, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It's so easy, you get so busy, things get going. You slip a little bit here, I didn't spend time with the Lord. Or I'll just give Him a few minutes here. And the day goes on, and you intended to spend time with Him later, and the day went on, and the next day, and the next day. And it is so easy to get away from that intimate, close relationship with God. And that's where David is in this position in his life. Discouragement comes when we allow wrong thinking. Discouragement comes when we get weary in well-doing. Discouragement comes when we get away from God. Someone said this, the devil's best tool, according to legend, once advertised his tools for sale at a public auction. When the prospective buyers assembled, there was one oddly shaped tool which was labeled not for sale. Asked to explain why this was, the devil answered, I can spare my other tools, but I cannot spare this one. It is the most useful implement that I have. It is called discouragement, and with it I can work my way into hearts otherwise inaccessible. When I get this tool into a man's heart, the way is open to plant anything there I may desire. And I'll tell you this, I am convinced that discouragement amongst God's people is the biggest tool of the devil. And I trust as God's Spirit takes the Word of God and looks into our hearts and lives, I trust if you're here this morning and God's Spirit has spoken to you, that you'll say, hey, I'm not going to let this be so in my life. I trust if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, there's going to come a day when you wish you did. All of us will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you today will just simply place your faith in what Jesus did for you, He'll save you and you'll have a whole host of positives that you can claim from now and the rest of your life. Let's bow for prayer.